Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD to the program. TD, good morning. How we doing?
Hey, good morning. What's going on, fellas?
Not a lot, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us today. So, TD, it certainly looks like, from the outside looking in, this is shaping up for Cam Ward to be drafted number one overall by the Titans based on the way that this thing has gone here. So, number one, I guess, do you agree with that? And number two, what do you make of the signing yesterday to bring Brandon Allen in as what I assume will be the backup to Cam Ward if it plays out that way?
Yeah, no, I do agree with that. And, you know, I'm sitting out back, and it sounds like the birds want to be a part of this show too, so excuse their chirping.
Hey, we welcome that.
Listen, when you look at the signing with Brandon Allen, I mean, this is a guy who has, what, 10 career starts in 6 years. This is a guy who, you know, hasn't even thrown for over 1,000 yards yet in a year. It's pretty clear that Brian Callahan, Nick Holtz, Bo Hart agree that their jobs are really going to depend on what happens this year. So I highly doubt they green light and they go along with, you know, that guy coming in and being the quarterback. And then we saw what happened with Will Levis last year. So, you know, those are things to consider. And you look at Cam Ward and him, you know, impressing them in the meetings and everything along those lines. So, yeah, it does point to that.
So on the Brandon Allen aspect of it, TD, what's the upside of him as the backup? What's the case for him as a backup? Why do you think they chose him?
Yeah, I think it's a good move if you're looking at it from solely a backup perspective. Here's why. He spent years with Brian Callahan. 3 years, 2020 to 2022? Guess what they did in 2020? They brought in a young quarterback by the name of Joe Burrow, right? And Brandon Allen was able to be, you know, kind of a veteran there for him and be someone that, not necessarily a veteran, because I think it was a year two or three for him. But nevertheless, he was a guy who has already gone through the whole, let's help this quarterback learn the offense process, right? So the familiarity is there, you know what I mean? And I think when you look at that and going through the process again with Cam Ward, I think that could help the development. This move tells you, though, they draft Cam Ward. You know who's under center right from the rip, and it's going to be Cam Ward.
So, TD, to that point, you know, also, if you draft Cam Ward at number one overall, that means you're not trading back, you're not picking up more picks, and I'm looking at wide receiver right now, and there's still some guys out there, so we'll see, you know, how involved the Titans get. But you got Calvin Ridley, you got Bryce Oliver, you got Treylon Burks coming off an ACL. You got Van Jefferson, who you brought in the other day. It's not great right now in terms of the room. So what do you make of the work left to do on that front? And how much do you think they can adequately address that given what's left out there in free agency? And if you're not trading back in the draft, not having a third round pick?
Yeah, I think, you know, the key is not trading off the first. They need to look at some options trading off the second. And I think they kind of done that. And I'm talking about pick 35. I think they've kind of done that because you look at just the holes that they, I'm not going to say they scrambled the field, but the holes that they've, you know, built with these one-year deals, it kind of bought them time if they want to bring in some young players. You have guys in the meantime, with Draymond Jones, who I think, I think he's going to be a really good signing. And you turn around and you have him re-up next year, in my opinion. But, you know, to bring it to the point about the free agent receivers, I think when you look at the guys that are left, you know, Keenan Allen, Tyler Lockett, Stephon Diggs, these are all, you know, we were talking about free agency 3 years ago. It's like, wow, there's a lot of options. But I think, you know, when you look at the ages, it doesn't match where the Titans are right now. So I highly doubt that they do anything from that perspective. Elijah Moore is a guy that you could look at. But I really think that if they go ahead and draft Cam Ward, they're going to somewhere along the line bring in Xavier Restrepo. Because he and Cam Ward, you know, they were roommates. They were guys that, you know, that's who Cam Ward gravitated towards first. You even see it in the film. I mean, a lot of times he's like, hey, man, I know Xavier's over there. I'm going to just throw him the ball. And that's what happens. So, you know, there's things that they could do. You look at this draft, like I said, they come down off of 35. I mean, you got, you know, Jalen Knoll, who is an outstanding player, you know, a catch-and-run guy. You watch the Iowa State film, you know, he's the one that stands out, although a lot of people are high on Jaden Higgins as well. But, you know, for what the Titans need, Jalen Knoll is a guy. You look at Xavier Williams. I know he didn't really do much at the combine, but, I mean, look, that's a Cordero Patterson clone. You look at Tennessee receivers. You look at Dante Thornton. I'm telling you, Dante Thornton is a guy, like, if the Titans aren't on him, I don't know what they're doing, because he's probably one of the best matching X receivers for what they need to do, and that stretch the field and have a guy that could be a threat to catch the ball and run. And that 4.3 that he ran at 6'5", 210 pounds or whatever he was, it shows on film.
Got to stay healthy. But, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, when he's out there and he's right, he can fly. So, TD, on Cam Ward, do you – and this apparent plan that looks pretty transparent at this point, do you feel like this was – because it does feel like a shift, right? Pretty significant shift. Was it as simple as, like, he blew them away, when, especially on the visit? Or do you think this is, like, more a gradual thing where, you know, people keep going back and forth, talking, going over the film, and even just looking at just the landscape and coming to this conclusion?
Well, you know, these guys appear to be very heavily influenced by meetings, right? And I remember after, you know, they met with Shador and talking to them, like, man, it was like they met a new girlfriend, you know what I mean? And I get it, because Shador is very charming, very, good in the meetings, right? And I think the thing with Cam is, all along they felt that he was the better talent, so to speak, but they wanted to see how he would be in the interviews. I think that really was the case, and it was just kind of a gradual build-up, boom, the interview. And the Titans weren't the only ones that got blown away by Cam Ward. I mean, there were other teams that got blown away. The Browns did. Also, you know, and then you also look at, you know, even his podium session at the combine. You know, a lot of us walked away from there like, I tell you what, man, that dude tried to lead me, I'm going to follow. You know what I mean? So he does have that in-person presence, and I think that did a good job. And then you go back and you watch the film. You know, obviously there's mistakes. It's littered with mistakes, you know, holding the ball too long sometimes when not necessary. The arrogant arm throws, you know, it's littered with mistakes, but there's so much upside, and I think that's really what everyone is looking at.
So, TD, as we sit here today on March the 14th, how much do you think the Titans have upgraded their offensive line with Dane Moore Jr., J.C. Latham moving to the right, Kevin Zeitler coming in? How much progress do you feel like they've made in that area?
Man, listen, I liken it too. So last month, January, I traded the Camaro in for a Corvette C8. That's what the Titans did, man. Like, it's a huge upgrade what they've done. Kevin Zeitler, like, people don't realize that dude right there, that's a major signing. Even though it's only a one-year deal, that is a major signing. And then I think you look at Dan Moore Jr., I still am a little skeptical about the amount of the deal. And flipping J.C. Latham to the other side. But, I mean, look, if that thing works, you got a left tackle that's solid, and then you got the right tackle position that gave up 29 sacks last year, the most by any right tackle group last year. You got that upgraded too. And then that is just, you know, going to help upgrade Skoronski, you know what I mean? And we'll see what happens with Cushenberry if he's able to go. Right from the start. So, yeah, they upgraded tremendously, and that's just great for whoever's behind the offensive line, whether it's Will Levis, Brandon Allen, or Cam Ward.
See, the difference is they weren't a Camaro before. They were like a Pinto before. But I like the analogy.
Like,
yeah,
that's like going from a Chevy Corsica. you know what I mean?
So, TD, Cam comes in, and we've been talking all offseason, I know, on this program about Brian Callahan. I mean, I look at the improvement in the offensive line. Hopefully it's significant. We're going to find out. You know, they still have a lot of holes to fill. I mean, I could certainly see, you know, one, a rookie QB struggling but showing promise, and I could see this team losing a lot more games than it wins. Drafting a rookie, do you think that gives more runway to Brian Callahan to not be under, like, all this pressure to, like, dramatically change the bottom line of W's and L's this year?
No, I don't think so, because I don't think it changes the patience and the lack of patience, rather, or the, you know, emotional approach or even the reactionary way that Amy Adams Strong goes about, you know, owning the team. I mean, we've seen, like, she could be emotional and very reactionary. Look at, you know, John Robinson being fired. The Mike Vrabel thing, I think, was kind of a build-up, but, you know, Rand Carthon being, that was an emotion. Somebody had to pay, and so, boom, you know what I mean? It was like Rex, remember B.I.G. had the song, Somebody Got to Die? That's what was the case after this year. So I don't think it really buys Callahan any more time. And as a coach, you know, you coach every day under the premise that your job's on the line anyway. So I think he's going to approach it the same regardless. But I'll say this, man, when that schedule comes out and that Patriots game, when Mike Vrabel and the crew, Titans North, comes down to Nissan Stadium, man, listen, I don't know what they're going to have to do, but they better do something, because that is a game that they absolutely cannot lose.
Yep, that's exactly right. No doubt about that. TD, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us today. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, for sure. And, hey, we'll be at Jake Lyman and I, 2-6. We'll be at Assembly Hall filling in for Stillman. So, yeah, get some real talk.
There we go.
Absolutely. Be tuned into that starting at 2 o'clock today. TD with us every Friday morning on the program at 8 o'clock. We'll react to what TD had to say. Take your thoughts on the Titans. We've got weekend winners coming up at 8:30. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Joe, as we talked about with TD, Brandon Allen signed at quarterback yesterday for the Titans. Mike Garafolo putting it out there that apparently there was some interest from the Titans on bringing back Mason Rudolph. He ends up signing a 2-year deal in Pittsburgh to go back to the Steelers yesterday. So Brandon Allen is the choice. And Joe, with a quarterback room that currently features Brandon Allen and Will Levis, at this point, it's hard to imagine this going anywhere of a different direction other than Cam Ward at number one overall for the Tennessee Titans. And if that's the case, you're talking about a rookie quarterback. You're not trading back from number one there. Interesting what TD threw out there in the last segment. How much interest would there be on the Titans front of being able to trade back at number 35? Could you collect some more picks that way? And that kind of goes into what we were talking about earlier of if you're not trading the number one overall pick, and you're taking Cam Ward, there goes the trade back option to collect a ton of draft capital. Could you trade back at 35 and pick up some more picks and maybe address some needs at wide receiver and edge rusher that way?
Yeah, there's that. I think the thing that really, I don't know if it surprised me, but I guess I hope TD's wrong, is the whole Callahan thing. You know, again, I'm not saying that the drafting the QB just completely changes the math on everything, and now, you know, whatever, you give this guy 4 years no matter what. Not saying that. But if it's truly as precarious for Brian Callahan as that, then, like, you're already starting out and putting a rookie potentially into a bad spot, you know? Again, I'm not, you know, like, sometimes you fire people. You know, you fire coaches. Quarterbacks deal with new OCs, new offenses, new coaches. This happens. But, like, I feel like if this is your strategy, part of your strategy also should be internally, take it away from Brian Callahan. When everybody else is discussing it, you know, this front office and everything, like, you are now saying, okay, Brian Callahan, this is your quarterback. We're giving this quarterback to this coach. We're going to pull the rug out from him, from under him. Now, I understand what TD is saying. Like, you can't, you don't know the, it's unpredictable with what Amy Adams Strunk will do. But I would hope the front office strategy, and I guess just hoping ownership doesn't swoop in and blow it up, would be, okay, well, then we're judging more on, you know, of course, you're judging on quality of play and a lot of different factors of being a CEO and a head coach. But number one, on how does Cam Ward get along with our coach? How does our coach develop Cam Ward? Do they have a partnership that can be productive in years to come as we do get better, as we build this roster and have a team that's more competitive? If that's not your strategy and it's just kind of like, yeah, this coach is probably lame duck, but yeah, we'll bring in Cam and then we'll get a better coach next year. I just think that's totally misserving your rookie quarterback.
I would agree with that, although I will say, like, still, he did say when all the Rand Carthon stuff went down that he had heard that Breaker wanted to move on from Callahan then. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to go down on that front. Like, I guess.
But even if that's the case, they didn't know what they were going to do at quarterback. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. But I guess if you're approaching it from that standpoint, and I agree totally with TD, like, trying to sit here and predict what Amy Adams Strunk is going to do. I have no idea. Like, I think he's absolutely right. I'm very interested to see when this Patriots game happens, because if they get, like, embarrassed by Mike Vrabel, it could be, you know, just an absolute terror in that organization the next day. I wonder, like, bottom line-wise, I think we all understand that barring Cam Ward coming in and playing like Jaden Daniels last year, it's probably not going to be a great year for the Titans. Let's say Cam Ward's your pick. He comes in and he shows some promise and improves as the year goes on. I'll probably take that, like, if I'm the Titans. But based on the rest of their roster right now, like, they're not going to be a good football team. So, like, how does that influence the way you view Callahan if you're Borgonzi, Brinker, leaving the Amy Adams Strunk part of it out of it? Because, like I said, it's impossible to predict the way she's going to react. But, like, the expectation heading into this year, I would think, particularly drafting a rookie quarterback with the holes you've got on your roster, is going to be pretty low.
Yeah, so it's him. It's look, just like TD said, and this is where I am like, I just, you know, again, Levis and a lot of the guys who have a lot of these mistakes. This is where I was kind of with Cam. We're like, I just think I'm just going to stay away from this guy. Like he said, it's littered with, like, these, you know, like, just the things that you can do in college football and get away with, you absolutely can't in the NFL. I mean, look, of course, Cam Ward, I'm sure, knows this. They've talked through it. And it's like, yeah, well, you know, here, you have to be on schedule more, all this stuff. I still think it's hard to break someone of habits like that. If that happens, right, and you see the you know, you see, like, the talent showing, but also a lot less of the just weird risky plays, then I think you have to give credit to Brian Callahan. Okay, so you do that, then you go 5-12. That's you're still gonna fire him if you've had, like, a promising start on that partnership. I don't know why you want to start the partnership if you don't have any chance really of continuing it, unless you have some shockingly good year in wins and losses.
We'll have weekend winners coming up next. Busy weekend to get into on the basketball front. Preds in action this weekend as well. We'll get into all that. Make sure you tune in to 102.5, 106.3 The Game for updates of the SEC Men's Basketball Tournament all day today, presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. Also brought to you by Guinness, thenewcumberland.com, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and Sloan's Motorcycle and ATV. We'll have weekend winners next. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Rowe have weekend winners for you now on ESPN. 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
On Robbie and Rex Road, the SEC tournament underway in our city. Preds in action in California this weekend. We got a lot to get into on that front. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. All three of us going 3-3 in the competition last week, Joe. Me and you did not pick up our locks. You got screwed by the Vols last weekend. Nick Kieser did pick up his lock, which brings the overall standings. Robbie Stanley, 10-8, 2-1 on my locks, 12 points. Joe Rexroad, 9-9, 2-1 on his locks, 11 points. Nick Kieser, 8-10, 2-1 on his locks, 10 points. So right there all together in the standings as we begin play here today. We begin with Tennessee and Texas coming up this afternoon in the SEC tournament. Vols a 9.5-point favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook. I'll start with this one. Give me Tennessee. I think the fatigue for Texas catches up to them today. I think Tennessee pulls away late in this one, and they win by 11 points. So I'll go the Vols minus 9.5. Joe Rexroad, Tennessee favored by 9.5.
Oh, man, it's tough because Texas is still fighting for its NCAA life. And it's just like the question of, like, will they be fatigued? I think their D's playing really well. They got length. If it was 10.5, I think I'd pick the Longhorns, but I'll go with the Vols.
Going with Tennessee minus the 9.5. Nick Kieser, Tennessee favored by 9.5.
Make it a clean sweep. I'm going with Tennessee as well. Hope that's not a bad omen. Sometimes it has been on this program, but I'm going with the Vols this evening.
That may not bode well for Rick Barnes and company. We'll see how that plays out. Joe, later tonight, the Predators taking on the Anaheim Ducks. All of a sudden, Predators are red hot. They've won four games in a row. Steven Stamkos can't stop scoring. So, Joe, we begin with you. Who you got between the Preds and the Anaheim Ducks tonight?
Yeah, I got the Preds continuing to screw it up. Win.
Kieser, Preds and Ducks tonight.
Yep, they win 5 in a row.
Give me the Anaheim Ducks. Anaheim says no more. We're putting an end to this nonsense. The Predators lose on the road in a hard-fought contest. I think overtime tonight. The Anaheim Ducks get the win in overtime against the Predators. Preds back at it tomorrow, Joe. The second half of a back-to-back taking on the LA Kings. Nick, we begin with you on this one. Preds and Kings tomorrow.
That's where I think they falter. Their win streak goes to 5, but then it falls in Los Angeles. I know Pete Weber's on the road for this trip. So, Pete, sorry, but the road trip will end in a loss.
I will also go with the LA Kings in this matchup. So I'm having the Predators getting swept in Southern California this weekend. Rexroad, Preds and Kings.
Yes, I'm also going Kings here. And don't worry, Nick. You know, Pete was the Kings play-by-play guy in, like, 1978.
I'm aware.
We move to the individual portion of the program. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
Yeah, first game of the day is Ole Miss Auburn. Auburn, number one overall seed, SEC champion, minus 12.5. Give me Ole Miss and make it my lock.
Guaranteed. Wow.
I think Auburn will survive this game. I think Auburn will squeak by, but Ole Miss is playing some good ball. They got the feel for things. Auburn has kind of been wobbling lately anyway, a little bit banged up, and I think they're going to find themselves in a real battle today.
Nick Kieser, your first individual selection.
I'm picking the same game, but I want to get a check on this, Robbie. I have 11.5 as Auburn as the favorite. Is that correct?
I guess it just depends on where you're looking. I can pull it up on the FanDuel Sportsbook real quick, and it says 12.5.
Oh, wow. I guess it changed in the last hour because that's when I made my picks, writing them down. Wow. But I'm still going with Auburn tonight. My brother's college, but I've been watching them closely this year. I'm going with the Tigers in this one.
So now Nick's making up lines. Oh, we got to watch this guy.
I'm not making up lines. It changed in an hour. Give me a break, Boomer.
We got to watch it. Auburn minus the 12.5 against Ole Miss. Give me the Cleveland Cavaliers minus 2 against the Memphis Grizzlies. On the road for Cleveland, so a challenge there. It could be a great game tonight between the Cavs and the Grizzlies, but I'll go Cleveland minus the 2 against the Grizzlies coming up. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
Biggie, it's an incredible day of basketball. I mean, like, the games are – there's absurdly good games all over the country. Marquette, St. John's, and the Big East. St. John's minus 4.5. Marquette did beat Xavier yesterday. I think St. John's ends up winning this game by about 8 to 10 points and covers. Give me St. John's minus the 4.5.
Well, with St. John's minus the 4.5, Kieser, your second individual selection.
Yeah, a little bit of Conference USA action. It was a crazy one last night between Middle Tennessee and La Tech, but I'm going to be going with Middle Tennessee this afternoon. They are +1.5 over Jacksonville State. That's where I'm going.
Going with MTSU +1.5 against Jacksonville State. Give me the Colorado Avalanche -1.5 on the road against the Calgary Flames. Colorado, when they're on, an absolute wagon. I think they're going to win by 4 goals tonight against Calgary on the road. Give me Colorado -1.5. Nick Kieser, your final individual selection.
Yeah, I'm going to stick over in college basketball. I know that the Fighting Jarrett Stillmans are facing Clemson this afternoon. Clemson is a 1.5-point favorite, but I'm going with the Cardinals, fellas. Give me Louisville.
Going Louisville +1.5 against Clemson. What was your lock, Kieser?
My lock was the Auburn game.
There you go. Locking down on Auburn against Ole Miss. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
Yep, Chucky Hepburn with a huge shot for the Cards yesterday. Huge game for MTSU, no doubt, against Jacksonville State. Huge game. I'm going to go Big Ten. Purdue, Michigan. Michigan's getting 2.5. Purdue had to survive USC last night, but I like them to carry that over and beat Michigan by more than 2.5. Give me Purdue -2.5.
Going Purdue -2.5 against Michigan in the Big Ten. Give me the Boston Celtics -8 against my beloved Miami Heat. Boston still hates the Heat, and the Heat aren't any good. So I think the Celtics are going to put it on them. Give me the Celtics -8 on the road against the Miami Heat. That's what I'm going with on that one. So I've got the Cavs -2 against the Grizzlies locked down. You both have the Auburn Ole Miss game locked down, just in different outcomes there. So we'll see how that goes.
Haven't had too many opposing locks. I've had that probably a couple times, but not too often. That'll be interesting.
I'm now very worried about Tennessee later today, Joe, with all three of us taking the Vols -9.5. Texas has generated some momentum, and it is always interesting this time of year. How much do you weigh the fatigue factor of them having to play the last 2 days, and how much do you weigh in the momentum of picking up two big wins and continuing to play just day after day, and how that affects the way that you're going?
Yeah. Well, if they didn't go two overtimes against their rival yesterday, I'd be looking at this as an upset special kind of game. But man, that's got to take its toll. Yeah, and there's so much emotion in Texas A&M too. So you would think it would affect them. Now, Trey Johnson, the freshman for Texas, he's going to be a lottery pick. He had a rough shooting day yesterday. He has those sometimes. He'll go nuts, and then he'll have, I think he had like an 0-for-14 day a couple weeks ago. I mean, I think he was like 6-7-for-20 maybe yesterday. So, you know, Tennessee, obviously, he's a defensive priority. You can't let him get cooking. You would think those legs would be tired. And so the outside shots for Texas you'd see some front rimming today.
Rexroad, Rory McIlroy and Scottie Scheffler off to a good start at the Players Championship. Your thoughts on what you've seen from those two?
Yeah. I feel like Rory, I think maybe he needs to switch to the 8-iron from the 7-iron. But other than that, I have no quibbles with what he's doing so far. I'm really impressed.
Yep, very well said. We'll wrap things up on the program coming up next. It is time for Preds Pick to Click. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal scorer for the Predators tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that. Coming up next, wrap up with our final thoughts on this weekend in the SEC tournament and for the Tennessee Titans in free agency. All that coming up. This week's Nashville's Best Deal, Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar. Just in time for the SEC tournament, score half off a $30 gift card and enjoy their award-winning pizza and handcrafted beverages. Visit them in Nashville, Spring Hill, or Murfreesboro. Visit thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. It is time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Anaheim Ducks. A standings update in the competition. Rex Road continuing to just run away with this. He's scoring every game. He's got 15 correct answers. The listeners on the board last time as well, they're at 10. I remain at 7. Keezer remains at 4. So Rex Road just, he's like a machine. He's an offensive machine in this competition. With that in mind, let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Colton to the program. Colton, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Good morning, guys. How are you? I'm going to go with Philip Forsberg this Friday morning.
Going with Philip Forsberg. Colton, appreciate the call, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
you as well. Forsberg off the board. Jaw him up first today. He's been scoring like crazy lately. He's putting the points up right now on the four-game winning streak. Give me Steven Stamkos, which is probably bad news for Steven Stamkos that I've selected him. But Forsberg and Stamkos off the board. Keezer, your pick to click.
Yeah, I'll go with Jonathan Marchessault, the last guy that I hit with that was not Stamkos.
When was that, in November?
That was back on December 17th.
You haven't hit one in the 2025 calendar year?
Yes, I actually have. I hit on it against the Sharks back on January 21st.
Okay, all right. Yep. So you're due, is yep. what you're saying.
Very due, yes.
Rex Rhodes' face when wow. you said that. It was pretty awesome. All right, Forsberg, Stamkos, Marchessault off the board. Rex Road, your pick to click.
Colton Sissons.
I like it. Congratulations to Colton Sissons on his impending hat trick tonight.
Exactly.
After Rex Road has selected him. Forsberg, Stamkos, Marchessault, Sissons, the selections in Preds pick to click. Joe, beyond the obvious of the Vols, what do you have your eye on in the SEC tournament coming up today?
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, I mean, Auburn is. I'm very interested to watch Auburn and how they come out. Chad Baker-Mazzara was ejected from the last game. You know, an elbow in the back of the head against Alabama. He was ejected in the first few minutes last year in the NCAA tournament against Yale. He's a tremendous player, special player, huge part of their success. Also, can obviously get a little emotional and make some bad decisions. And that, like, they've got. You know, they got a potential to win this whole thing, and they've also they've got to keep things together and get back to playing their best basketball. So really interested to see how they come out today. You know, and then the second session is really, Florida, Missouri should be a high flying, up and down, great game to watch. And same with Kentucky, Alabama. I mean, my gosh, Kentucky, Alabama. I mean, I expect it to be like in the low hundreds for both teams. It probably won't be, as they'll miss shots. But even if they have a bad shooting, it's going to be like 82-80, you know. It's going to be a ton of fun. So the second sessions are probably the more aesthetically pleasing basketball. Another thing to watch is Mark Mitchell from Missouri hurt his knee, and Lamont Butler from Kentucky re-injured his shoulder. And, you know, they're going to have a hard time if they have no point guards in the NCAA tournament. So that's a huge thing to keep an eye on today too.
So let me ask you this, and this is not in the SEC tournament, but Cooper Flagg, if his injury is significant and he's out for a long period of time, how big a deal is that, not only for Duke, but for the seeding process and for their chances moving forward here?
Well, the seeding thing got taken care of yesterday when the x-rays were negative, because you can't, you know, the big example, we were talking about this yesterday in press, the big example of this is the year 2000, Cincinnati was made, you know, they were going to be a number one seed for sure. Kenyon Martin breaks his leg
yep.
in the Conference USA tournament, and they get dropped to a two seed. They were not a two seed by profile, but they got dropped because, like, they're just not the same team without Kenyon Martin. Even if, you know, I mean, Cooper Flagg may not be available next weekend. That is certainly possible. But I expect Duke to be a one seed regardless. Can they survive a weekend in the NCAA tournament without Cooper Flagg? They got a lot of other talent. I mean, they have a lot of other talented guys. But, you know, like that second game next weekend, you know, against an 8 or a 9, like UConn, a Memphis, something like that. Tell you what, man, it could be a real problem for them. And I, you know, we'll see. I mean, it looked awful. He's in a wheelchair and you're like, yeah. Oh my God, this is terrible. X-rays negative is great news, but you know, is a week enough time? Is 10 days enough time? So maybe he could get there for that second game. I don't know. I mean, certainly this is tough for Duke and him.
Hey, so by the time we come back around on Monday to the show, do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to figure out where he's playing football, or is he just going to hold this thing up for another week here?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, if you're the Steelers, you know, do you – at some point, is this not kind of a signal to you? Like, you know what, maybe just don't. I mean, I understand the alternatives aren't attractive. I get that. I mean, you know, running it back with Russ, short of that, what are we talking about? Are we talking about, you know what? Actually, let's put our chips on the table and move up and draft one of these quarterbacks.
Jameis.
Yeah, maybe Jameis. You know, could they, you know, an interesting idea. There's all this talk, and Charles had it on our show yesterday about the Browns.
Yep.
What about the Steelers? Could the Steelers get in there? I mean, the Falcons would love that. The Steelers and Browns are both fighting each other to try to trade for Kirk Cousins. If I'm Arthur Smith, I'm like, please give me Kirk Cousins over these options that I have right now. And again, if Rodgers is on board and it's all good, and it's like, you know what, Rodgers and Tomlin have a respect. He's going to come in here and sort of, he's not going to be Mr. Sideshow, but he already is. He's being Mr. Sideshow before it even happens. I'd have early pre-buyer's remorse if I were the Steelers right now.
And they're still in the backdrop, like the idea that playing for Minnesota is very intriguing to Rodgers. Like, I just wonder what the holdup is. Is there a money dispute between him and Pittsburgh? Like, is he still trying to determine if he actually really wants to play football or not? Like, what does this all sound like? Like, I feel like the football part of this probably was determined a while ago when he was, like, begging the New York Jets not to release him, and then they ended up doing it. So it sounds like he still wants to play. So I wonder what the holdup is and if it's as simple as money, or is he weighing an option? Like, is Minnesota actually interested in him?
Yeah, that would be interesting for sure. I mean, again, if I was Minnesota, I guess I might, look back and say, okay, let's just do Darnold, you know, tag Darnold. I get it. You know, $40 million obviously is above market for him, but regardless, that would be really interesting. I can't buy any uncertainty about playing right now means the money's not there, you know, and I think that's what it is. So, and yes, people are right. Like, Rodgers has all the money in the world, but there's also a certain level of, like, a respect level that you probably expect if you're him, right? Based on what you've done. And you could point to and say, I mean, I played well last year, but I don't know. I get that, but I still, if I'm the Steelers, just the whole thing just seems like it's not going to go well. And that could be the thing that finally, you know, puts Mike Tomlin in danger of that job.
Hope everybody has a great weekend. That does it for us here on the program today. Enjoy the SEC tournament. We'll be back Monday morning. Jason Big Joe coming up next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.